Yes, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Hope Summit Christian Church. I know that, man, I think back and my mom had to put up with so much with me, and I look at what my wife has to put up with me and the kids on top of it now. You guys, I know it's a role you play day in, day out. It's so often something that you're not thanked for, but today we want to say we're so glad you're here. Moms, I got to say something. I have to poke fun a little bit. Did you know that Easter and Christmas at churches is the most attended services, but right up after that is Mother's Day. So I got to say, kudos to you moms for getting your kids to come to church with you today. Nice job, because we have more people here than we normally do. So we're so thankful that you guys are here. Guys, I'm telling you what, there's so much happening here at Hope Summit Christian Church. There's so many things happening here at Hope Summit that it's almost overwhelming. You know, we had the kids thing today. We got Mother's Day. Now, you might notice that I'm a little bit brighter right now. I know I can tell. We moved some lights around because we have this camera in the back that we're going to be broadcasting our sermons up online. I shouldn't say broadcasting because it's not going to be live yet. Maybe one day we'll get there. But soon we're going to be having our sermons, not just the audio online anymore, so that's pretty exciting, but it's not going to happen right away. I just want to clarify that the tech team is getting used to the new technology. They're figuring out, you know, what the best shots and angles and all that jazz looks like, so we're still in process of doing that. Again, if you're interested, you can definitely join us in that today. Another big thing that's been happening is that we've been interviewing candidates for our youth ministry, and I'm happy to tell you that Jacob Uriah, who was here last week, accepted our offer to be our youth pastor, so now we finally have a youth pastor. Yeah, it's been almost a year. It's been almost a year since we've had a youth pastor, and guys, I'm telling you what, this kid is quality. This guy has so much to offer. Very excited that he decided to take our offer in that way. He's going to fit in here really, really well. So, woohoo, God, thank you so much. And Jacob, thank you for joining us. You know, we're excited. He'll be coming here in June, so that's a big deal. Also, we have a special guest for you today, Tay. Tay is here. Tay orders from Pine Haven Christian Camp, and she has come here because we support different ministries across our nation. We support different ministries across the world, and Pine Haven Christian Assembly Camp is one of those ministries that we provide support for. So when you guys give an offering, a percentage of everything that you guys give on a Sunday morning actually goes to Pine Haven. And some of you definitely know Pine Haven because, like, you grew up going there, your kids are going there, maybe even your grandkids are going there now. But Tay here is to kind of, for those of you who might not know, is here to explain what Pine Haven is all about. So I'll give it away.
Well, Pine Haven is the Christian service camp that is affiliated with the Christian churches and the Churches of Christ throughout the state of Minnesota, a couple in South Dakota, and even one in Iowa. Not sure about that one. But but we all come together for the last 75 years, and we create a great program of proclaiming the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ through camping programs and through the facilities up there. God gave that land to us in 1941, and he has been faithful, Jeff, through 75 years to use it for his glory and to call people into relationship with him and into service in his kingdom. So we're excited that you all are a part of that. We consider ourselves an extension of the local church's ministry, that we aren't an entity unto ourselves. We're nothing without you. And so when you send up your kids and your families and your adults, we hope to build on what you're already doing in the local church and to encourage people in their relationship with Christ and call them into a deeper relationship. Awesome. So that's what we're all about.
Awesome.
We've got youth camps from third grade all the way through 12th grade and even one for college. We've got camps for Family Week. Erica and Ethan Riggin are the deans of our Family Week, so they're from your church.
They're from Hope Summit here,
your people here. Peggy. I want to say, Jordy is your married name.
The reason why you hesitate is because you knew her before she was Jordy.
She was one of one of my staffers.
Yeah.
So, and we call her Pegasaurus Rex. So
there you
I couldn't figure out which name to use. So, so Peggy, Jordy, and Mary Pease are deaning that ladies retreat weekend, which is the first one out of the chute for us. It's gonna be a great weekend.
Awesome.
So we invite you to come up. Come up with your families. Come up for ladies' retreat, scrapbooking, motorcycle. Come up. Bring up your kids. Be part of it. We don't do camp without you. 300 volunteers from our churches every summer.
Yeah.
So we can't do camp without you.
Yeah.
And then we want to invite you up to the 75th anniversary.
Okay.
The weekend of July 22nd through the 24th, Jeff.
July 22nd, 24th. Feel free to mark that now. It's going to be a great celebration.
It's going to be an awesome weekend of celebration. But the 23rd is the key. That's the homecoming day. So if you can't make it for the whole weekend, come up for Saturday. Hog roast, big softball games, and all sorts of fun on the fields. We're going to have a gospel hour, and Ben Kacharis is our speaker for that night. And then we're going to wrap up the whole day with a great fireside time.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a great time. Come July 22nd through the 24th. Bring your families, all ages. Welcome. It's going to be a fun
awesome.
Time.
Awesome. Well, we wanted to make sure you guys know that there's a lot going on up there at Pine Haven, and we'd love for you to send your kids, you know, or come as a family. I'm going to be there with my family during Family Week. It's going to be a great time there as well. But isn't there, there's something happening tonight
yes,
as well,
there
right?
Is. We have a road show out at the Plainview Christian Church tonight at 5:30. It's about an hour and a half of food, fellowship, fun, talking about camp, getting a little bit more specific about dates and things like that. We can talk to you about registering and all that type of stuff too.
Awesome.
So come out and have a great time with us tonight. You'll go out to eat with your mothers at lunchtime, and then you'll look at supper time, and you'll go, what are we doing? Hmm. And that's about 5 o'clock, just say, let's head to Plainview and join us out there. We'd love it.
There
and I just want to say thank you, Hope Summit, for your regular support and your constant encouragement to the camp. We really appreciate partnering with you in this ministry, and we're just proud to be part of you. So thanks so much.
Tell you, it's our pleasure. It really is. Guys, you got to recognize that when kids go to camp, like, that's when they're making decisions to follow Jesus. I was there for 9th and 10th grade last year, and we had 3 baptisms there, and then there were a couple more that happened afterwards. It's at Pine Haven Christian Assembly that kids decide to go into full-time ministry, okay? So the next generation of kids is being raised up there. This is a wonderful, wonderful place, and so we are happy to get to serve you in that way. Let's give her a hand, and thank you
Thanks
for joining us today. Well, speaking of camp, I thought it might be kind of fun. Thank you, buddy. Let's give him a hand. Good job. You're quick. All right. So, guys, today we are going to be looking at God's Word. In particular, we're going to be looking at wisdom literature. Okay? Now, wisdom literature, as we look at the wisdom literature, specifically we're going to be looking at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. As we look at these, you got to remember that this is really just information. Okay? Really, it's just understanding. But wisdom is taking what we have been told, that what we've learned, okay, the things that we're going to learn from God's Word here in the wisdom literature, and actually applying it to our lives. That's what the wisdom literature was written out for. Okay, wisdom literature was written so that we would be instructed in the ways of wisdom so that we can judge what's right and wrong and how to be upright and how to be righteous before God. That's why we have this wisdom literature. Okay, so in particular, we're going to be looking at the wisdom literature when it comes to our possessions, to our stuff, to the money that we have, to the things that God has provided us with. Okay, so we're going to be looking at these provisions, but before we dig into God's Word, we're going to pray. Now, before we pray, we got to recognize something about ourselves, okay? In church, specifically, to my church, okay, to the people who come here consistently, I want to challenge you guys, okay? You got to recognize how rich you are. Okay, I know comparatively, you might look at other people and recognize that you just don't have quite what you think would be rich. I know that that's very often a temptation that we have. But we got to recognize that in the world, okay, compared to the world, we are the richest. Okay, if you have food, clean water, shelter, and transportation, even if it's public, you are ranked among the elite in the world today. And as we talk about money, guys, I'm just addressing the elephant in the room. When we talk about money, especially in the church, I know that there are tons of people who immediately go like, preachers shouldn't be talking about that stuff, you know, and all. Like, when I come to church, I just want to learn about God. Well, just for the record, if that's your attitude, if you want to start editing out all the stuff that God has to say about money, your Bible's going to go from about this thick to about that thick. Because he talks about it a lot, okay? We are talking about this because, one, Hope Summit Christian Church hasn't talked about this for like 3 years. Okay, and so this is just a part of Christian education, just understanding what God has to say about it. But secondly, guys, this is not about money and all. This is about your heart. Okay, this is about your heart. And I know the moment I start talking about this, walls start coming up. And I want to challenge you guys to recognize just how rich you are before we dig into God's Word. Admit that to yourself. Okay? Don't let the walls come up quite yet. And during this prayer time, ask God to speak to you through his word. Okay? Just ask for truth. That's it. Okay? Ask for truth. So if I'm lying, then you don't have to listen to me. Let God reveal that to you. Ask him for truth. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the truth that it does bring into our hearts and our lives. Father, I ask for one simple thing. I ask that the hearts of these people would know you. I ask that every single person in this room would recognize the hope that they have through your Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't need their money. God, you will provide for us because you are our provider. Lord, I pray that their hearts would be surrendered over to you. That they would recognize what it meant for you to send your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the wisdom that you bring into our lives through your word. I pray that wisdom would go deep into our lives in such a way that it comes out in our actions. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're in this series called The Provider's Purpose. You know, for the month of May, we're taking a break from our He Changed Everything series, and we're looking at just the way that God has given us all this stuff and why He's given us all this stuff. God is our ultimate provider. God is the one. I mean, you could trace everything that you have back to God. The shoes on your feet, the car that you drove here, this cell phone, amazing cell phone that I hold in my hand, right? Now, we can trace all this back to God because, one, God created all the resources, He gave us all the things that we have today on this earth, and then He gave us His image. Did you know that you were created in the image of God? You were created in the image of the Creator. That's why we can take the natural resources in our world today and turn it into something like this. I'm still amazed by this thing that I hold in my hand, because when I was growing up, you know, the most advanced thing we had in our house was that Apple II or an Atari, you know, or that Nintendo that I had. Like, that was the most advanced technology I have. This thing is still just blows my mind that we can do this kind of stuff. But guys, the only reason that we can do this is because God first created everything on this earth, and then He made us to be creators and to be able to do this stuff, okay? So God is our ultimate provider. But see, as He gives us these provisions, He has called us to use them in a certain way. And last week we talked about that. He talked about how there's two ways that God has called us to use these provisions. One, He's called us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy it. You might be surprised hearing a preacher say that, because it seems like a preacher's always down like, oh, just, you know, you shouldn't enjoy all this stuff. No, enjoy it. He called us to enjoy it. But He called us to enjoy it in such a way that we would turn, it would cause us to turn and worship Him. Okay, I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes. Okay, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. Okay, this is some of our wisdom literature. Look what it says about the possessions that He's given us. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13. It says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God. Now, when you recognize that working and having all the things that we have because of the work and the toil that we have, and being able to eat and enjoy these things, when we recognize that's a gift from God, it causes this thing in our hearts to turn to Him and to say, God, because this is so good, well, you must be good. Listen again to what it says in Ecclesiastes 5, 19 through 20. It says, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot in life and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. God wants you to enjoy the stuff that He's given you. He wants you to. But when you recognize it's a gift from God, it causes us to turn and to worship Him. Man, if everything He's given us is good, then that means He must be good. They seldom reflect on their days or their lives because God keeps them occupied in the gladness of their heart. He wants you to be glad in your heart as you do this. Last week I talked about my son and our dog. Okay, my son loves our dog. We have a lab pit bull mix. Great, great dog. So friendly, super smart, and he's so gentle with the kids, even though my son is like tackling him and pulling on his tail and stuff, you know. And that dog, as much as a dog can love, loves my son. And when you see those two together, you know, there's just something inside of my heart that says, man, that's right. That is good. And as I think about that, I think, you know, my son didn't do anything to create that dog. That dog didn't do anything to create that boy. God created both of them and made them to be with each other. And so when we look at the great thing that He has given us, we can't help but look to God and say, man, that is good. That is good. So you must be good. So you see, the provisions that God has given you, He wants you to enjoy it so that it turns into worship of Him. And say, thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you give me. You must be good because this is so good. But then there's a second purpose. He gives us a second purpose. So first, to worship Him, to enjoy it and worship Him. But the second is to be a blessing on others. Last week we talked about Abraham and Isaac and how God said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to all nations. And the wisdom literature says the same thing. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. Do you hear that? He says, for their maker. God says, in this moment, Solomon is saying, when you show contempt for the poor, I mean, when you oppress the poor, you show contempt for the provider of all things. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So you recognize that? So like, as I worship God and honor Him for the good things He's given me, and as I'm a blessing to other, it brings glory back to God. And that's the cycle we want to see. We want to see that as we worship God and then we are a blessing to other people will see how good God is and they will worship Him. And as they worship Him, they will find that giving to other people is really good. And as they give to other people, those other people will then turn and worship God and see how good He is. And as they do, so see how this cycle can happen? If we are obedient to using the provisions that God has given us for the way He called us to use them, then this beautiful cycle comes back to where God is just getting the glory from you and from the other people around you as you bless them in His name. Okay? So check out another one, Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for all that He has done, for all that they have done. Okay, so here's another promise, that as you give, you're not just giving to the people, you're giving to God, and God sees that and He responds. Okay, so God wants us to worship Him, and then He wants us to be a blessing to other people. That is the purpose of the provisions He has given us. Now, there is a ton of stuff in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes about money and possessions, and I wrote a sermon that fit in a bunch of those scriptures, but it was really, really boring. So I threw that sermon out. And I decided to talk a little bit more about Solomon, the man Solomon. Now, Solomon was the son of David, King David. Now, you might not know who King David is, but you probably know who David and Goliath is, right? The kid who took out the big guy. Well, after he took out the big guy, he went on to become king of the Israelite nation. Not just a king, but a king that was a man after God's own heart, a king that brought the nation of Israel into being a world power, a world-renowned power in the world of David's day. And then Solomon comes along, and he's got to have to fill in his dad's sandals or whatever they wore back then, right? And he's thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And God comes to Solomon and He says, I'll give you whatever you want. Okay, I'll give you whatever you want. You want power, I'll give you power. If you want riches, I'll give you riches. Whatever you want. And Solomon says, all I need is wisdom. Just give me wisdom. God, I just need wisdom on how to lead your kingdom. And so God says, good choice. Good choice. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you so much more than wisdom. But through Solomon's wisdom, not only did Israel continue to become a world power, it became the world power. And people from all over the world would seek out Solomon to hear of his wisdom. They wanted to hear from this guy, this Solomon guy. And he was rich. I mean, beyond rich. Like there's rich people, and then there's like really, really rich people. And then there's like the people that we just can't even comprehend the kind of cash. They can't even comprehend the kind of cash coming. And then there's Solomon. Okay, this guy had it all. In Jerusalem, they were taking money that would have been useful in other countries and just throwing it alongside the road because they didn't need it. Money was literally on the streets, okay, because Solomon was so great and his wisdom was so great and God gave him so much. Now, Ecclesiastes, understanding that about Solomon, Ecclesiastes is basically Solomon's book where he's saying, what is the purpose of this life? What is the meaning of our existence? What should we be spending our time on this earth? And so what he does is in his wisdom, he tests all these different things. Okay, he tests all these different things. He tries scientific discovery. Maybe discovering more, that gives us meaning in life. How about wisdom and philosophy, being able to unweave all these, you know, difficult things about life and all these truths about life. Maybe that's the purpose. How about just happiness? What about mirth? Just being joyful and happy and having our lives filled with laughter. Maybe that's the purpose. He even tried alcohol. Maybe we should just be always strung out all the time on alcohol or something. Maybe that's just the purpose of life. He tried that. Okay, architecture and property. Maybe if I build great things, that'll give my life meaning and purpose and people will remember my name. He tried luxury. He tried this materialism and stuff and having lots of money and just enjoying the stuff that money brings. He tried a lot of sex. Okay, he tried out the sex stuff. Maybe Freud is right. Maybe life is just about sex. Everything comes back to sex. It's all about sex, sex. Okay, so he tried all these things. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says about money. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 15. Whoever loves money has never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? Sounds like they had big screen TVs back then, just like we do now. The sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much, but as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry from their hands. Because you got to keep in mind that this is one of the richest of the richest of the richest. Okay? And as he looks at money and wealth and luxury and stuff, this is his conclusion. A man that was given supernatural wisdom by God, this is his conclusion about stuff. And guys, we know this, don't we? We get it. How many times have we heard the stories about someone winning the lottery and their life is ruined? How many times have we heard about people who found sudden fame? Or the guys that got the contract, you know, that we just had the NFL draft, okay? These guys suddenly are bringing in more money than they've ever dreamed of before and how they end up using it the wrong way and it ruins their lives. We've heard this. We know this. We get it. And yet there's still a disconnect. There's still this draw, this temptation to it that man, I know that I can't actually have my security in my bank account. We've already seen how an economy can just drop, right? We've already seen that. We've already seen how we can't find security in our jobs. And I know you've probably been through it over and over again, that when I buy something, it feels good for a moment, but doesn't last. Guys, we understand this. But living it out in wisdom is a completely different thing. So understanding the truth is important. I very often try not to take sermons from other guys, okay? I spend a lot of time praying and seeking after God. It's like, hey, I know my church. That preacher's preaching to a different church. Like, man, there's some similarities, but what does Hope Summit need, God? But there's something from David Platt that I just couldn't help but steal. David Platt is a great, great preacher. And I found this on a thing called Right Now Media. So I'm about to have a little commercial break here, okay? We're going to move over here. Did you know that we offer you guys this thing called Right Now Media? This is for our members or people who are coming consistently. It's basically Netflix for Bible study. I've heard constantly, time and time again, that people have a hard time getting into their word and reading their word. Well, we offer you a free resource. It's free. It has over 10,000 videos of Bible study where you can have some of the best teachers in the world teach you God's word, okay? We will offer that to you for free. All you have to do is sign up for it. You can email Rick, okay, R-I-C, at hopesummitchurch.com. You can find that email online or whatever. We would love to hook you up with that. And this is where I found this, okay? And if you are interested in studying this further on your own, if you're interested in studying this further on your own, write down in your notes right now, write down the name David Platt, and then write down Secret Church 8. Okay, he does this thing called Secret Church, and it's called The Gospel in Possessions. You'll feel like you're drinking from a fire hose, okay, because he literally goes through every single scripture there is in God's word about money and possessions. But he does it in a fun way. He's a lot more entertaining than I am, okay? So he does a great job with that. So Right Now Media, let us hook you up. We offer it to you for free. Okay, commercial over. Now, listen to what David Platt says that we can learn from Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 15. It says, the more you have, the more you want. Do we recognize that truth, church? Can you be honest with yourself and recognize that this is you? You know how I know this is you? Again, I know I keep bringing up TVs, but let me ask you a question. How many of you still have in your home today for your most used TV, tube TV, one of those big old ones? How many of you that's your TV? We got one in the room, folks. Can you just admit to yourself? Okay? I know that people come in here like, oh, I don't have a problem with this stuff. This is my problem. All those other non-believers or all those other, you know, they're always pointing fingers. This is everyone else's problem. Can you just kind of, in this moment, the more you have, the more you want. You know it. The more you have, the less you're satisfied. So it's like the more you get, the more satisfaction you're going to find. The more you have, this one's true, the more people come after it. Right? The more you have, the more people come after it. The more you have, the more you realize it doesn't meet your real needs. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. The more you have, the more you can hurt yourself by holding on to it. The more you have, the more you have to lose. And the more you have, the more you're just going to end up leaving behind. Again, guys, this is stuff we understand. But like living it out is hard. It's hard for all of us. It's hard for me, guys. I'm a preacher, right? I mean, I've been studying for this stuff. I write my sermons about 3 weeks out. Okay, I knew I was going to be preaching this sermon. But last week, I was on the road with my family up to the cities because I was dropping Jacob off. Okay, he was flying out of town after coming to visit us, our new youth pastor, right? And I was stressed out. Okay, hiring someone is difficult. And the punk waited until we pulled up to the airport to tell me he was accepting the job. Okay, I was talking to him, trying to sell the church, you know, the whole way up. I'm like, hey, man, here's why I hope someone's great. Here's why, you know, all this stuff. And he's sitting there smiling at me. I'm like, well, he's just going to say no. But he had already had it in his mind. He was saying yes, little punk. Anyways, okay, so love you, Jacob. So glad you're joining us. Now, I was stressed out because that's just a long process, a difficult process. We've been sitting in this for almost a year waiting for a new youth pastor. On top of that, there's some really tough stuff happening in some of the families in our church. Some stuff that's really difficult, and I'm constantly getting updates on this stuff at home. You know, pastor really never has a day off because they're constantly getting updates on stuff. So I've been really wore out thin. On the way up, I said, hey, family, after we drop off Jacob, we're just going to go to the Mall of America, and we're going to spend some money, have some fun, buying some stuff we normally wouldn't get, okay? Because we got some money back for our taxes, so we had a little bit of extra cash lying around, and so I thought, well, that'd be fun. Why'd I do that? Because I was stressed out. Because in the moment it felt good, right? And we had a great day. Man, we had a great day. It was fun. The kids were celebrating. Dad's the best. You know, he said, oh, you're the best dad ever. You know, buying just Legos. That's all it takes, right? Buying Legos. My wife's excited. She got this fun thing for a crafting thing on. I bought this dumb little card game that I'll never play with anyone because no one's interested in the same stuff that I am when it comes to these nerdy card games. So like the day was great. But guess what happened on Monday? Stress was still there. The boys had already put together all their Legos before I even got up that day because they were so excited. And then they forgot about them. They're just sitting on the desk, okay? Like, this stuff just doesn't last. And again, we know it. Like, we understand this, but wisdom is taking this and using it and doing something with this knowledge and this understanding so that we're living a different life, so that we can really worship God for what he's given us, and so we can actually be a blessing to the people around us. But there's like this disconnect. So how do we get to the point of actually using this stuff? Well, let's go back to the wisdom literature. It tells us, it gives us the answer, okay? How do we take it from here and actually use it? This is something apart from you, church. You got to recognize this. This is something you can't do. Because the only way to do it is through righteousness. Listen to this. Wealth, Proverbs 11:4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Now, Rick is going to be talking about the eternal effects of possessions, you know, and we're going to be talking about stupid investments on it next week, so I'm not going to touch that. What I want to move on to is Proverbs 11:28. It says, those who trust in riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. The righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Remember that the wisdom literature was given to us so that we would know the difference between right and wrong and be able to stand in front of God upright and righteous. So as we seek after the wisdom of God, as we fulfill this through righteousness, we will find fulfillment. The first chapter in Proverbs says basically that those who look for wisdom are like a tree planted by water. I grew up in Nebraska and southeastern Colorado, and there's a lot of plains area. There's not a lot of trees. I love the trees here in Minnesota. Oh, I love that they're everywhere. Okay, but over there, there's just tons of these plains. In the distance, you would see these patches of trees growing, and you knew that there was either a creek over there or there was a lake over there because the trees were planted next to water. They were the ones that were able to grow. Guys, God tells us that as we seek out his wisdom and as we look after the righteousness that God has called us to, then you are like a green leaf that grows and sprouts and lives. And all this stuff, guys, we've seen how it leads us to destruction. So the question isn't, how do I do this right? The question is, how do I get righteousness? How do I become right before God? How do I live a righteous life? And again, guys, this is something apart from you. You can't, like, make yourself more righteous. You just can't. Because we are not right before God. Because we have sin in our life. I'm sorry, I'm okay admitting that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes. Maybe that's your hang-up. Maybe you have a problem admitting that, yeah, man, I made some mistakes before God. But the truth of the matter is, whether you believe it or not, you are not right before God. You see, God created us to be holy and righteous, and everything that and when we were first created in the beginning of all things, He created us for righteousness, for holiness. He created us perfect and in His image, just like He was. And He just said, just stay with me. Just stay within the boundaries that I've called you to. He said, just don't step out this side of this. Don't step outside of this. Don't go to that tree. But we went to that tree, didn't we? And you yourself have gone to that tree over and over and over in your own sin. And because you stepped outside of the righteousness of God, okay, as you step outside of that, what's left to us is death, okay? Romans tells us that, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death, okay? The reason that is because God is life. God is life. God is light. God is love. And if you step outside of life, what are you left with? You're left with death. And so, guys, we were left in this death state, okay? This undead state that was a result of us walking outside of the holiness of God. And God, though, was not okay with that. He was not okay with us being unrighteous before Him. And so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. Now, that's important because, you see, Jesus didn't ever step out of this righteousness. He never stepped out of the confines and of the will of His Father. He remained perfect. He was tempted in every way that you and I were, and in some ways a lot harder. God, that He was tempted in some ways by Satan in ways that you've never been tempted before. And yet He was able to remain faithful to His Father. And because He remained holy before God, He didn't deserve to die. Okay, but He decided to die anyways as a sacrifice for me so that my sin and my punishment could go up on a guy who didn't deserve it. And as He died, as He accepted death, my sin was covered. My punishment was taken care of. He rose back again to life, and He tells us that any of us who believe, if we repent, if we're baptized, Romans 6 says that when you are baptized, you are united in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That as we believe, we will be forgiven. And here's the important part. You are given a righteousness that is not yours. Did you catch that? Jesus was righteous. We were not. When He died, He took His righteousness and covered us with it, for those of us who believe. So now you are given a chance at righteousness before God. You're given a chance of righteousness before God. So how does a righteous person use their money? First, they recognize that this money is not theirs. They recognize that God is the provider of all things. And in turn, they give back to Him what's His. Listen to Proverbs 3, 9-11, 9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is talking about the tithe. I know this is difficult. I know this is where it gets tough. Like, I don't want to tithe. I don't want to do that. Like, it's 10%. Like, I don't know if I can live off of 90% of what God has given me. But see, this is where the righteous step apart from other people. Because the righteous person recognizes that God is ultimately the giver of all things. And if God is ultimately the giver of all things, then I can trust the giver of all things with everything that I have. Meaning I'm willing to give Him the 10%. Meaning I'm willing to trust Him in this way. So I can trust the God who gave me all things with this. Now, the other thing that He calls us to do is He calls us to give to the poor, which we've already talked about. Proverbs 9:29-7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Proverbs 22:9. The generous themselves will be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Okay? So a righteous person recognizes that all this belongs to God. And because all this belongs to God, I can trust Him with everything that He's given me. I can trust Him with that 10% that He says, that's mine, that's my 10%. I can trust Him that He'll fulfill His promise. Did you catch the promise in that tithing verse? Did you catch the promise last week? If you weren't here, our sermons are up online. We'd love for you to go back and listen to them as well. But did you catch the promise last week that, man, if you would just bring the tithe, the storehouses of heaven would open up and you would be blessed in that way? Can you trust the promises of God? Now, see, this is where it gets tough. Again, this is where the rubber hits the road. And I know that this is the part, guys, I know that this is the part where it gets really uncomfortable. Because a guy like me stands up here and talks about money, a guy like me stands up here and talks about all this stuff, and one of two things happens. Either you're like, yeah, man, God's word is clear on this. I can trust Him in that, and I'm going to give. Or you recognize, I don't know, I just can't do it, I just don't know. So you walk away with a couple feelings. One, you feel guilty. You feel like you just can't be accepted at that church. You feel like, you know, you're not good enough Christian or you're not a good enough person because you can't give in that way. Or you get upset. That's a defensive mechanism. Well, that preacher shouldn't be talking about that. You know, I don't need to be hearing about that kind of stuff at church, right? Those two things happen. So I just need to clarify something, okay? If you don't give, you're welcome in Hope Summit Christian Church, okay? I don't look down on you. I don't even know who gives. Okay? I don't do that. I don't look differently at you because you don't give. Okay? Because I don't think the problem is a doing problem. I think it's a knowing problem. I don't think you're a bad person because you're not giving. I think you want to. I think most of us want to be more generous, don't we? So maybe the problem isn't that I'm not, you know, maybe I'm not a bad person because I don't do the right thing. Maybe you're loved by God and you just don't know how much yet. On Saturdays, I come here every single Saturday and I pray for you guys. And I've been praying. I've been doing a study on how Paul prayed for his churches. Paul planted all kinds of churches. And I've been praying. I've been looking at different ways that he prays for the church. And I want to read something that I was praying for you guys last night here at this church. On my knees, I was praying for you. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And I say that really fast. I want to slow down. Let these words cascade over your heart. This is what I want for you. I don't want your money. Do you hear me? I don't need your money. Because God is my provider. And he will give us what we need. This is what I want for you. I keep asking on my knees that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what you need. You need the spirit of God so that he would give you wisdom and revelation so that you could know him better. That you would know him better. And I have been praying that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the glorious hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That you would be enlightened in order that you would know the riches of the glories, the glorious inheritance for his holy people. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open so you would know the glorious inheritance that he has for all of his holy people. And I ask that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would know his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That's what I want for you. Maybe this isn't a problem of doing the right thing as much as knowing how good the gift is from God. We're going to take communion here in just a moment. This is something that we do every single Sunday here at Hope Summit Christian Church because Christ is at the center of everything that we do. That's all we want for you. But you see how this is connected to our giving because, guys, if I'm willing to give you my son, okay? I have an 8-year-old son, I have a 6-year-old son, I have an 11-year-old daughter, okay? If I'm willing to give you one of my children, don't you think I'd be willing to give you $100? Right? Wouldn't I be willing to give you 1,000? 10,000? 1,000,000 if you need it? Because I just gave you my most precious gift. If I'm willing to part from my son so that you would have what you need through my son. Guys, if I'm willing to do that, then the rest of it is easy. Fine, take my car. Fine, take my house. Fine, take all my money. Because I have already given you my most precious thing. Do you guys recognize that when he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, he gave you the hardest gift already. He took care of the hardest problem already. And that he promises you, guys, he has promised this. That if you would just trust me, if you would just trust him, that he would give you all these good things. So the question is, do you know him? This is why we take communion. Take a moment and, guys, why don't you come forward? Why don't you guys come forward? I'm going to pray. And while you're taking communion, just take a moment and thank God for his glorious gift that he's given you through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you gave to me your greatest gift. I pray that every heart would know the hope that we have because of that. I pray that every heart would know the glorious riches that you have for us and the enormous power because of your son, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. pray for our offering. God, I thank Jesus Christ. Thank you for your son. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I do want to throw out a special thank you if you're a guest here with us today. It's kind of awkward to show up as a guest to a church and they're talking about money. So I know that's difficult sometimes. But hey, I'll tell you what, if you got through this one okay, man, you can get through anything we throw at you here at Hope Summit. So man, I'd love to have you back anytime. So glad that you're here. I got one more special thing for us today. We got a baptism following this service. One of the mamas up here, of the little girl that I held, okay, Brianna, she's going to be getting baptized. And so the way we do this is we head on out over into the chapel area. Could you, if you have children, could you pick them up first, please? We went a little bit long because we had so much we're packing in the service. So you go pick up your kids, and then you could join us over in the chapel so that we can all celebrate together as a family for this baptism, which is really exciting. But then I also want to throw out something that I forgot to mention before. We decided to do a special thing for Mother's Day. We always give out flowers, so grab a flower on your way out. But then we also, if you'll notice in our foyer, right here as you go through the door, take a quick look to your right. We have a special place where we're taking pictures with your family, and we have these little plaques that your kids can fill out, or you can fill out for your moms as well. They say, I love my mom because, and then you can write out a little thing. And we're just taking some family pictures. We're going to take those and post them up on Facebook and tag you guys in them, or we can email them too if you want or whatever. It's just kind of a fun thing. So I know it might be sticking around church a little bit longer. Your tummies are probably grumbling a little bit here, but man, take advantage of that. We've been having some awesome pictures, some beautiful things. Man, kids are so intuitive. Man, they've been saying some amazing things about their mamas. So go get a picture taken, and please join us for the baptism. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you next week. Well, I guess I won't. I'll be out of town because I'm going on vacation. Woo! Rick is going to be preaching. We'll see you next week.